This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors, Kevin Hagelin, Colby Sapp, and Reginald Atatula hanging out with us this evening in studio. We are laboring away here on the last Labor Day of this year. Yeah, think about that for a second, Kevin.
That's too bad.
What do you mean that's too bad? We can't have another one?
Never forget about the last Labor Day of 2019.
Okay.
See, Colby? Some people never forget. It's time for this.
Your attention please. Ladies and gentlemen. Now batting with baseball buckets. Corey Majors.
Buckets.
Ball one.
I did absolutely nothing, and it was everything I thought it could be.
I think I know this.
What?
And I never know. Wow. Off the first one. Rangers win today 7-0.
Hell yeah.
Over the Yankees of New York, who are probably the best team in baseball and don't even have all their best players healthy right now. But the Rangers were able to destroy them 6-0. Guess what happened today, Kevin? 7-0. That's what I said. Guess what happened?
What?
Chu hit a home run. Trevino hit two home runs, and DeShields hit a home run. DeShields hit a home run that was so far that nobody could find it.
Oh, really?
Actually, I think Trevino only hit one home run. But he hit a ball so far that nobody could find it.
I mean,
except for the guy that caught it.
Did they find it?
Nope. I will also point this out.
Did they find the guy that caught it?
That's a good question. They won 7-0.
Mm-hmm.
That means the Yankees did not score a run, let alone many runs, to necessitate an entire win.
That's an amazing thing that you just said. Shout out to Wayne's World.
That is 220 straight games where they were not shut out.
Wow.
Yes. They avoided being shut out 220 straight games. It says here, July 1st, 2018.
Wow.
Was the last time it happened. The Rangers are below 500 and waited out a 2-hour, 52-minute rain delay in order to hand the Yankees the first shutout in 220 games. It's the second longest stretch without being shut out in the modern era.
Ooh, does it say how many games the longest one was? I was curious how close they would be to breaking that. That's insane, though.
Kevin, it says here the record holders from 1931 to 1933 were the Yankees.
Oh.
Who scored at least one run in 308 consecutive games.
Ooh.
Not that entirely close.
That doesn't sound modern.
Well, I mean,
1931,
and the team with the next best shot to top them now is the A's, who have 98 games without being shut out.
So they're not. Wow.
They have a whole freaking season in front of them.
Oh, Rangers.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Rangers, for making us very proud. What do you think about that, Colby?
I think.
Ball two.
There was nothing wrong with it until I was about 12 years old and a no-talent ass clown became famous and started winning Grammys.
Definitely. I'm going to stick with Rangers baseball, but I'm going to talk about the Sound, the AAA team.
Oh.
Puget
Sound?
Who got a win, Kevin.
Okay.
Tim Dillard tossed 125 pitches.
Oh, my. That's a lot.
It was a lot of pitches. He's 36, delivers everything softly from a low slot. So he's not subject to modern usage patterns, but he is one of those guys that has had 10 consecutive quality starts in the minor league system this year. 7 innings pitched, 7 hits, 1 home run, 3 runs given up, 3 walks, 9 strikeouts, and he has a 4.75 ERA. The win for the Sound means that for the 22nd consecutive season, Texas's AAA squad won't finish 10 games below 500. Isn't that amazing?
I thought you were going to say we'll finish above 500.
Won't finish 10 games below 500 for 22 straight years. The Rangers AAA club has not finished 10 games below 500. That's an amazing stat.
I don't think it's that impressive.
I mean, wow. You need to look out, Kevin. Watch out, world.
Yeah.
Stuff.
We might not be good, but we won't be as bad as we could be.
I'm going to step away from Tim Dillard for just a moment, but we'll be back. Ball three.
Looks like you've been missing a lot of work lately. Well, I wouldn't exactly say I've been missing it, Bob.
guys, Justin Verlander pitched a no-hitter yesterday.
Yeah.
And that's pretty special, especially on the same day that Tim Dillard threw 125 pitches for seven innings. You know, mm-hmm. It was a pretty great day right there. Two great pitchers pitching well and stuff. Not even against each other, but just pitching well on the same day. But Justin Verlander's numbers there were pretty remarkable. 14 strikeouts for Justin Verlander in his no-hitter, and that's pretty spectacular. And that brings me back to Tim Dillard.
Oh, who I tweeted more Larry Corcoran facts for you.
Who tweeted this out. Congratulations to Astros pitcher Justin Verlander on his amazing no-hitter. Pretty nice, right?
Yeah.
He said, I will never forget back in 2005 when we went toe-to-toe in a classic minor league pitcher's duel. And after the game, when I told him he did a great job, and he shook my hand and said, you too, Jim.
Oh, no, that's not his name.
Tim Dillard wanted to go ahead and point out congratulations to a guy that once called me by the wrong name in a game that I thought was a very epic minor league baseball game. Now, Tim Dillard's also the guy that was brought in and said he didn't want to sign a major league contract. He said he wanted to play in Nashville. Nashville was as close to where his family was. He wanted his kids to go to school where they were, and he doesn't want to play in the major leagues. He just wants to play minor league baseball. That's a wild dude right there, man. And he's pretty funny, too.
Yeah, and he doesn't want big money for his kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, what? So, I mean, he doesn't. So for Verlander, he's tied with Larry Corcoran for the third most.
Did you really find more Larry Corcoran?
Hell yeah,
story?
I did. So it's Justin Verlander. You know him. Cy Young, you know him. Bob Feller, you probably know him. Larry Corcoran. So one of the things I learned is that he went 31-14 in 1981. He tied for the league lead in victories at 31 with Jim Grasshopper Whitney.
Oh, my gosh.
But Jim Grasshopper Whitney also led the league in losses that year with 33. So he went 31-33 that year. And then Larry Corcoran was 5'3" and weighed 127 pounds.
What?
What do you think they called that dude Grasshopper? Like, I'm just trying to figure out, what do you think it was about him?
He was very wise at learning things.
Okay. You think grasshoppers are wise?
He chirped very loudly.
All right.
Ooh, he had a good good moral compass.
Okay.
And he told people.
Because we had a, when you
and
say
wore top hats.
Grasshoppers are wise. We had a grasshopper get stuck in our the grill of our car once, and then we pulled him off and he lost his leg. And so how wise? He died.
Oh.
He couldn't hop around anywhere. I tried to attach the leg back, but it just didn't work that
with
way.
With what? With what did you try and attach
I
the
just
leg
tried
back?
To, you know, like whenever you, like a Barbie doll.
Did you have
doll,
minor?
Like when a Barbie doll leg pops off, I just thought maybe you could just kind of pop it back in, that it kind of had a little hip, or, you know, a little ball and joint there, but it didn't. So
I don't see an answer. Okay. Here we go. Pitchers would sometimes, and this is something I learned from Corey earlier in the show about the pitching box.
Oh, yes. Actually, hold on. Let me get to that.
Okay,
Kevin.
And then we will go back to Grasshopper Jim. I will have an answer for you about that.
All right. Ball four.
Why, excuse me, you I believe you have my stapler.
We are sticking with the Astros situation. Justin Verlander, do you think he sees control of the American League Cy Young race there?
Garrett Cole
has been on his heels, and he served one up today. One day after Verlander spun his third career no-hitter, Cole dazzled for six innings at Miller Park, striking out 14 batters. Yes, 14 batters in six innings, allowed one run, three hits. The Astros reached 90 wins, blah, 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 about the Astros and stuff. But that is not the cool stat. According to Elias Sports Bureau, the Astros are the first team to have pitchers with at least 14 strikeouts in consecutive games since the mound was moved to 60 feet, 6 inches in 1893. Now, Kevin, you asked me earlier before the show what the history of the pitching mound was.
Yes.
And where was it before? And so I, as a student always, went and looked that story up. And I had a link, and I'm working on it right now. It used to be 55 and a half feet. Before the pitcher's mound was introduced in 1893, there was a 4 foot wide by 5.5 foot long box on flat ground. The pitcher could put his back foot anywhere along the 4 foot back line, and that was 55 and a half feet away from home plate. So there you go. Can you imagine Aroldis Chapman pitching 55 feet away?
I cannot. However, that plays right into the story of Jim Whitney. Pitchers would sometimes hop forward within the box before releasing the ball. And some, like Whitney, would leap into the air during the process. So he would like jump up in the air and then land.
Like
and
when those
throw
bit
the ball.
First pitch pitchers go
yes.
out there, the gymnasts and stuff get out there. And
so because of that, batters made fun of him gymnast. And gave him the nickname Grasshopper Jim. And so Grasshopper Jim Whitney, he finished with a career record of 191 and 204, despite having an ERA of 2.97. That's how different the business used to be. And then do you know what almost got Larry Corcoran run out of baseball? No. I'm so enamored by this. All right. He was offered $2,100 by the Chicago White Stockings in 1883. This was a raise of $300. He said he wanted $4,000, which per a newspaper of the day called The Inner Ocean, was dubbed a, quote, outrageous demand.
Trying to set the market. I see him.
For without the position of pitcher or catcher would soon command a higher salary than the president of the United States receives. Outrageous. I want to point out now, I think Mike Trout makes approximately 88 times as much money as the president does.
Per at-bat.
Well, yeah, per game he makes more probably than the president. It's pretty close.
Yeah, the president doesn't play any games.
I just want to point out, Kevin, I also like the fact that we were talking about Jim Whitney and Houston. Jim Whitney Houston. I mean, I just want to throw that out there all at the same time. Guys, not to bring the room down.
Oh, no. Jim Whitney's dead more than 100 years ago.
No, Chase Numata, a minor league catcher in the Detroit Tigers organization, died Monday from injuries suffered last week in a skateboarding accident.
Ooh.
He was bleeding from his head and was taken to a hospital and has passed away. Mm. Colby, what movie was that?
Well, the 817 was the first one to get it right, even though they put in the wrong words. I did get exactly what they were trying to say. It's Office Space. Office Space, everybody, by the great Mike Judge. Yeah. That's probably the best thing he's ever made besides Beavis and Butthead.
Wow.
I mean, King of the Hill is easily better than Office Space could ever dream to be.
Well, no, I didn't.
I disagree. I
never have enjoyed
it. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the NFL salary cap in 2020. How are the Cowboys and the rest of the NFL looking? We'll talk about it next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This segment of the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by the personal injury team at Frankel & Frankel, fighting for car and truck wreck victims for over 25 years. 214-333-3333 is the number, or you can go online to frankelfirm.com, principal office, Dallas, Texas.
Now, this is a segment that Kevin teased 3.5 hours ago that we would be discussing. Or was it less than that? Was it an hour and a half ago?
No, that sounds right.
Kevin said, it is going to blow your mind. You are going to be mind blown by the end of this segment because of the salary cap in the NFL. Kevin?
So we're looking forward to the 2020 salary cap. How much room will the Cowboys have? And this will help you kind of determine like how the negotiations with Zeke should be going, maybe. By the way, we got news that word is the biggest hang-up right now, not surprisingly, is the guaranteed money. Todd Gurley got, you know, what was it, 36 in the first 2 years, and the Cowboys aren't looking to dispense that much guaranteed money that quickly. And Zeke's team wants to make sure he gets the most guaranteed money, not just the most average money.
Okay.
So, do you want to know the teams with the least monies or the team with the most monies first?
I want to know the teams that are just can't afford anybody.
Well, that would specifically be the Falcons and the Vikings. The Falcons have a robust negative $7.7 million of salary cap space, while the Vikings have negative $7.2 million.
And this is all aimed at next year.
Correct.
All right. And they have very expensive quarterbacks, I believe.
Yes. That'll be the last year of the Kirk Cousins fully guaranteed deal, so they can't do jack with that.
All right.
The Jags are next. They have $5.9 million. Steelers, $14.4 million. Bears, $15.2 million. Packers, $22.3 million. 49ers, $24.4 million. And the Eagles have the eighth least cap space at $25.3 million. Now, who has the most salary cap space?
Gonna guess the Dolphins.
Ooh, the Dolphins are second on the list.
Oh, okay.
Is it the Colts?
It is, in fact, the Indianapolis Colts.
Was it the Colts?
That is correct.
In your face, Colby.
The Miami Dolphins will have an astonishing $113 million in salary cap space next year.
Wow. $113 million?
Yes. However, that is still significantly less than the Colts, who will have $138 million of cap space next year.
That's a lot.
I do believe this was before the Jacoby Brissett news came out, so that would knock it down $15 million, but still.
Yeah, also you got to think the Colts looked at that vast amount that you just started talking about, and they're like, well, let's pay some people.
Exactly. So, next, third most salary cap in 2020. Texans, $91 million. Bills, $85.4 million. Fifth on the list, the Dallas Cowboys, who are set to have $85 million in cap space available.
Yeah, baby. I like that number. But that's a lot. I mean, they're going to spend a big chunk of it, right?
On
their own players.
Okay.
That's what they do. That's what you've promised. If you come into the Cowboys system, you get paid if you were drafted and perform up to what the standard was. They fill the gaps and the creases with other players, but they don't fill it with the stars. The stars are the guys they draft and expect to become superstars.
Now, Zeke is already counted in this for 2020. So he'll inevitably get a raise. He's scheduled to make $9 million next year. So let's just make this nice and simple. He's going to make $14 million. All right?
Okay.
So that's $5 million more. So that drops you down to 80. Now, here is where some of the problems might wander in. Now, keep in mind, you can manipulate some of these contracts however you see fit.
Right.
Just on the surface, how much per year do you think Amari is going to get?
20.
20?
I was going to say 18 or 19.
So all right. So if you, even if you average that together, so
19.
19. All right.
19.25.
Okay. So that drops you down to 61. How much is Dak going to get?
34.
I'll take that number.
All right. And keep in mind, neither he nor Amari are under contract in 2020. So that's all off. That would put you at 27 million. And if you recall, that puts you just above the Eagles as being one of the lower numbers. So you can look at that and say that the Cowboys have all the money, or you can say once you get Zeke, Amari, and Dak done, you go to having close to the least amount of money.
Okay, or, but who do you have to sign now? Byron? You can still sign Byron, right?
You could.
All right, who else? Who else is currently on the roster? Because a lot of these young guys are locked up.
I think Jeff Heath.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
I got a guy that's making like $500,000. So
I know it's going to be determined, but if you wanted to bring back Witten.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Lyle Collins.
How much is he going to cost me? What's the going rate 10? For a good right tackle?
I'll say right? 10.
10, and then I got 15 left still?
And that's with no Byron.
And that's with no... Okay, so if Byron's going to cost me 12? 9? 12?
You need to go higher rather than lower. I think you're looking at more like 13 or 14.
Okay, 13, so that's $23 million right there. So I got $2 million left to sign up my pool.
You have 4. Just out of curiosity, would you rather have Byron at 13 or Lyle at 10?
Man, continuity on the offensive line is very important. I would rather have Lyle.
No, nope.
I still need
You're
to see
him. You're
not
showing faith in your young kids.
I need to see him. I'm not, dude. In what young kids? Connor McGovern?
Connor and Connor.
Connor McGovern? Right now, Connor Williams could be used as an offensive tackle if we need one. But right now, hey, leave him in as my guard. Connor McGovern? I haven't even seen the dude take the field.
Yeah.
So, no, if I'm making the decision today, I'm not going to trust my young kids. I will trust the young kids that I have behind Byron Jones over any young offensive lineman I have right now. So that's where I stand on it. But again, I don't think that Lyle Collins has lived up to a contract that's in that range at the moment. You know, I think he's a good right tackle, not a great one.
I would certainly agree with that. I'm trying to think who else is missing. And by the way, Colby, same question for you. Would you rather have Byron at 13 or Lyle at 10?
Yeah, I'll take Lyle. And the main reason is because I think that if you were going to choose a position on the Cowboys that they're just going to keep recycling with good talent out of the draft, I think it's defensive backs.
Cam Fleming.
And this, let me ask you this also, Kevin. Does this doesn't include how much more the salary cap is going
to
go up?
That is correct. So theoretically, if you wanted to, let's just say we'll build in an extra $10 million. All right. So if you want to build in an extra $10 million. Maybe that buys you Lyle Collins, and that puts you up to 37. Like Cam Fleming, for example, he has an option of $4 million that you would have to count. And so, like, if you went Byron, Lyle, and Cam Fleming right there, that's $27 million. And so that still gives you $10 million, and then you have the option to like flip some of the switches. And so that goes back to what we were kind of talking about before. If you're responsible and you pay all your credit card debt, then you have the opportunity to stretch it out and really use it if you want.
Mm-hmm.
So is now the time maybe that you would do that?
I just like use it on my own players or other teams' players.
Let's just say on your own players to start.
Yes. At this rate, Kevin, your average age of your players is 25. Your average age of your player is 25 years old, and that puts you right at, you are the 1, 2, 3, 4, you're the fifth youngest team in the NFL. The Cowboys are will be the fifth youngest team in the NFL next year. And I feel like if you're looking at this thing as, you know, in a 5-year window, you want to have those guys until they're 30. And if that's that point, then you're moving on from them, right? And so I feel like this is that window to say, I want to keep all the continuity that I can together. It is a big question mark, though, on your head coach. Because if you don't get to that point this year, right, the head coach is gone, how much more power and control and all these other new things is the new head coach going to want? He's not just going to walk in and be like, yes, this team is perfect. I'm going to keep all these guys around. So there are a lot of question marks regarding this season matters so much to so many different people because they don't have contracts at the end of the year. They're working on trying to get new big-time contracts instead of prove-it stuff. And it might be a whole new group, man.
Okay, I got a better handle on the people who you wouldn't have. All right, so keep in mind, like, under that scenario, you kept those two. Mm-hmm. That would give you $13 million. Here's everybody who would be out or you would need to talk with. Alfred Morris.
Love you, man.
Randall Cobb. Tavon Austin. Jason Witten, Blake Jarwin, Joe Looney, Xavier Suafilo, Adam Redman, Robert Quinn, Malik Collins, Christian Covington, Kerry Hyder, Antoine Woods, Daniel Ross, Sean Lee, Joe Thomas, Justin March, Jeff Heath, Anthony Brown, Kayvon Frazier, CJ Goodwin, Darian Thompson, Tyvis Powell, LP Lattisaur, and Brett Maher.
All right, you're going to find money for a lot of those guys because they aren't that expensive.
Yeah.
Anthony Brown is the one that I would probably have a conversation with.
Would you rather have Anthony?
Everybody else, I'm fine with finding a replacement.
Wow.
If they aren't willing to sign back for the money that puts them under the cap.
Okay, Anthony Brown will say at 6 or 7 or
sure.
Byron at 12 or 13.
I'll take Anthony Brown.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Well,
okay.
I know Byron's such an awesome human being, and I know he people think he's a shutdown corner. It's because they weren't throwing his way. Just saw more results out of things that would happen with Anthony Brown or anybody trying to go for football.
Okay. What about Jeff Heath, Sean Lee, and Malik Collins?
See ya. Yeah. I got Tristan Hill. I told you. I brought Tristan Hill in to be his replacement anyway.
Yeah,
I'm trying to maximize getting the best out of Malik Collins this year because I drafted a guy that is his future replacement. And if he doesn't go out there and show me everything he's got this year, then guess what? His future replacement will start playing, and he won't have any film to go show other teams whenever it comes time to go get a bigger contract. And Stephen Jones said that with G-Bag. He looked a hole right through Jeff and said, look, a lot of crazy things can happen whenever guys are in contract years. And that's exactly what Malik Collins' situation is right now. As much as I like him, we've seen him, right? We've seen the product. Do we believe in it? I mean, if he's not healthy all the time, let's get the best I can out of you right now, and I'll see you later. I got your replacement already.
Just keep that in mind that you know darn well Zeke's team knows that they've got $85 million in cap space next year.
So they're just trying to come to that agreement on what it is. Kevin, here's a real weird stat that I found. I didn't realize this. The youngest team in the NFL, 25.44. The oldest team in the NFL, 27.1.
Oh, wow. So it's not really.
The window is very small for NFL players.
I wanted to point out one thing real quick for those that don't want to pay Dak Prescott and what have you for what he's done and all that. Taco Charlton this year is going to make $2,735 or $735,015.
That's more than Dak makes.
Dak is scheduled for about, what is that? Yeah, it's about $600,000 less. Taco's getting more money than Dak.
Sweet. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how do we feel about this sports fine? Plus maybe some admin? Next on The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Import, Chicago, Illinois.
This segment of the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by Mesquite Mitsubishi. A new Mirage will only cost you $11,900, and that's only at Mesquite Mitsubishi. Check them out online at mymitsu.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece, we'll admit it in just a few minutes, but before we do, Mike Bryan has been suspended, or not suspended, been fined $10,000. He is a 41-year-old tennis player who just got into the game recently. And
he's been around for quite a while.
He's been slapped with the biggest fine of the men's tournament so far, because there could be another one, after reacting angrily to a Hawkeye replay during the second round of the U.S. Open doubles tournament.
What was Hawkeye doing there?
I'm not really. Sparing Kevin can probably up. Explain it, but he was in competing in doubles with Bob Bryan, clearly his brother, or maybe his dad.
No, it is his brother.
And he was reacting after Hawkeye Technology validated a challenge he called on a shot from opponent Federico Delbonis. The video showed the ball landed out. Bryan aimed his racket at the line judge, who had originally called the ball in, before pointing his finger at the chair umpire and shaking his head. Now, Colby, he used his tennis racket as a gun. Oh. He was aiming and pointing, and the gesture did not go down well. Chair umpire Marina Alves quickly called a code violation for unsportsmanlike conduct. Bryan was not impressed. He said, just tell me what I did real quick. What was the gesture? He said, and then they argued about it and stuff. So he's been fined $10,000.
For a racket gun?
Yeah, and they won the point. He said, I apologize for any offense I may have caused. We won the point, and the gesture was meant to be playful. But then he spun into what you're supposed to say. But given the recent news and political climate, I understand how my gesture could be viewed as insensitive. I promise I will never do anything like this again. This is what we talked about a couple weeks ago in terms of like the slippery slope of what's going to be okay, what's not going to be okay. So he fired off his tennis racket gun because he was happy. And he got fined $10,000. This is just where it starts, or this is the next logical place that it goes. Well, they're the U.S. Open said that. And by the way, very illuminating quote from the U.S. Open, representative. Quote, why were they fined that much? The gesture warranted that amount. Super insightful.
Okay.
Okay, so what happens? Okay, so in their minds, because obviously you were to, I don't know, give somebody the finger during this, is this going to be fine just as much, or they're saying that this is worse?
I say less.
Yeah,
that's insane.
I think it's. I
understand.
It's a reaction to. I mean, dude.
I know.
I was just reading a tweet earlier, and guy was like, man. You know, I'm just kind of sitting here thinking to myself that within the next couple of weeks, there's probably going to be another mass murder shooting. Yep. Because that's the current place we live in right now. And so I don't think that this is fixing that.
No.
At all. And, you know, in the heat of these types of things, I agree with you, Colby. But that's the place that we live in right now. And so instead of doing something, everybody just kind of sits back and is like, well, we got to be offended for other people.
That's the part of it that I think really gets me, is just the amount of people waiting to be offended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's what, whatever reaction you want to have, if that's your honest reaction, okay, fine. But just that people are just waiting to be offended so they can just go on an outrage.
There's
enough offensive things happening in this world that you don't got to go hunt them down like
that. Okay. Is that to insinuate, and I don't really disagree, that you feel the vast majority of people on this weren't really offended?
Yes.
That, like, they're just fake offended?
Yes.
You
put a couple of things together and go, oh, I should be, I, oh, no. It took them a little bit to match everything up and then go, Well, now I'm offended. It's like explaining a joke to somebody. If you have to explain it to them, it's not funny. If you have to explain to somebody why they should be offended, then they shouldn't be offended because they didn't get it right off the bat.
Interesting. Well, I just thought that this particular topic was of fascination because when we talked about this topic a couple of weeks ago,
we had the throat slash. Yep, we've had exactly. All sorts of wild, different kind of stuff go on in the NFL so many different sports.
But the thought is that this is the kind of stuff that would start to happen, and this is just the next step. This is just the beginning step. It's going to continue.
I'm kind of curious. Do we see silly fines like this in the NBA? I'm trying to think of, and this is really quickly, I'm trying to think of stuff like this. Does the NBA have that type of a problem?
I feel like their fines are usually more like, what was it, last year, 2 years ago, somebody used the F word in terms of like the derogatory gay slur.
Okay.
And they got a pretty hefty fine. But other than that, like, I don't really.
Baseball? It seems like baseball is pretty, they let the players do a lot of stuff, right?
So you think like football and now maybe tennis are the ones that stand out the most in terms of
this tennis one definitely stands out for sure. But I think football's always, it's always just been this, the NFL is looked at as the NFL shield is always trying to protect. And are the players really going that far out of their way? Or are you guys just looking for reasons to fine us? That's what it always has felt like with the NFL.
Maybe tennis needs the money. They're like, we're giving out too much prize money. We got to go ahead and...
some of that.
You know, that's a good question. I want to go back and see a couple of the incidents where, like, Serena Williams threatened to murder lines people and stuff, what the fines were on that. Because I don't know if it's... I mean, it could have been way more than this, and then I'll be like, well, maybe they just fine people, or maybe not.
From the 469, NASCAR won't allow guns and ads any longer.
Alienating your fan base there.
Don't forget the out at Texas Motor Speedway, the revolvers, the guns were that was the trophy you won. Out of Texas Motor Speedway.
I don't know that you can say they're alienating their fan base. I think NASCAR's fan base is a lot more expansive than people care to give it credit for.
Is it?
The stereotype fan base?
Well, I mean, but the thing is, its fan base has collapsed a lot over the years.
It did change a lot.
So maybe they lost those stereotypical fans, and that's why their fan base is so much smaller.
But right now it's time for everybody to admit it. 877-881-1053. You have a secret. It's deep and dark. Maybe not. Maybe you've kind of wear it on your sleeve a little bit. Uh-huh. But it's still a secret, and you need to admit it. Go ahead and text in 877-881-1053.
I'll admit it. During the commercial break, I was enamored because on Facebook somebody posted up a video of this lady putting makeup on her face and doing like Halloween makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't hear a word y'all said during the commercial break because I was just watching her do this like fishnet skull face on her face.
Okay.
Thing.
All right. That makes sense.
So yeah, I just spent the whole time watching that. So basically, I spent the whole commercial break watching a makeup video. I just admitted it.
Kevin, you ever watch makeup videos?
I know. And by the way, maybe U.S. Open is just the place to give fines. Serena Williams was fined $82,500 for threatening a lineswoman during that match.
Wow, that is a lot.
And that was like 10 years ago.
$70,000 more than this guy got for shooting a fake gun at her.
Also at the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
You got to remember, tennis is more of this buttoned up type of sport.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Atmosphere matters in that.
I'll admit it. Earlier tonight, I saw an ad for some pants, and I want some of these pants.
Like that SARS game I went to where I got free pants?
This is a little different. Okay. Although those pants, I've seen those pants.
Oh, you have. You should. I know what you're talking about. Describe it very specifically.
Colby, these pants, what's that?
Huh?
Pants.
These pants, and I wish I could actually find the thing. They have an area called the action zone.
it's, the, on,
The Action Zone.
Former WWE show.
Is right there in the crotch area.
Because of course it is.
And that is your Action Zone. And in the ad.
Oh my God. I got nervous for a second.
In the ad for these new pants that you don't, because the modern man needs pants without a belt. They're sans belt, basically. Okay. So you need, and they have the Action Zone right there in the crotch. And then at the bottom of the ad, it says, now with larger snack sack. And I'm trying to figure out.
Hot.
Is there more snack sack room in the Action Zone? Is that why? Because there's more space in that area?
Wait.
Do you have questions about that?
I have a lot. First of all, is the snack sack in the Action Zone, or is it a pocket that's shaped like a sack that you could put your snacks in?
I don't know. I don't know if there's like a fifth pocket. It says, a man of action needs to wear pants of action. Sansa belt. The only sack with the patented Action Zone. Slack. I'm sorry.
Okay, so.
Would you perchance be wearing action pants? Is what this lady's supposed to be asking with her poodle while her poodle is clearly staring at the Action Zone.
The crotch down where your nuts hang.
Is that the snack sack?
That's still my favorite pants-based commercial. That was the president, by the way, who said that. And
former president.
Well, I mean, he was the president at the time. But you believe that, right?
Is the snack sack, is it located where you can put snacks to sneak them into a theater? But I wouldn't want that located next to the Action
Dude,
Zone.
You have action.
Because now I'm just reaching into my pants in the crotch area and pulling out like popcorn and candies.
You're going to have onion corn, you know?
It's just you can't. Nobody wants to see anybody reach into their pants beside you in a movie theater.
Definitely not if you call it your Action Zone. All right, this might be related. I'll admit it. I just learned that STDs aren't called STDs anymore.
What?
You mean I've been saying that for the last 10 years?
And Reggie told me for like a long time they haven't been called that. They're apparently called STIs.
Why?
I don't know.
Is it insensitive to call an infection a disease?
No, I mean, it's more accurate. It's an infection rather than a disease.
Which sounds worse? You have a sexually transmitted infection or a sexually transmitted disease?
Disease sounds worse, and it sounds more accurate to me, because an infection sounds like something that, well, a lot of times you can get rid of, and a lot of these things that they're talking about, you can't.
Well, they're two different things. Actually, they're two different things.
They've now got super gonorrhea that nobody can figure out.
Yeah, super gonorrhea is crazy, bro.
What?
You gotta get that good topical cream.
And still no topical cream.
The usage of STI is becoming seemingly more preferred by the health world thanks to the part of less negative stigma. STDs have been around forever. Think back to junior high. But the phrase STI doesn't yet have the same negative. Sorry, guys. I'm going to keep reading up on this.
Okay.
Because it said they are two different things, but I can't find the section that shows me why.
Because if it's more accurate, that's one thing.
Oh, an STI is a sexually transmitted infection.
Yeah, we got that far.
In greater detail. An STI means that an individual has an infection, but that it is not yet developed into a disease.
Oh.
So, like, HPV does not have any symptoms, but she carries the virus, right?
So does she tell everyone she has an STI then?
I don't know. I don't know. She's probably not telling anybody. You know, she's probably like, well, just keep that hidden. And if it pops up on their test, they won't know because they're hooking up with lots of people too.
What?
That one girl almost tried to give me that once. Remember?
Yeah.
I got saved.
Who saved you?
But now an STD, since cancer is a disease. So, yeah. So if HPV was to turn into cervical cancer, then there you go. So that's the difference. So the same is true for individuals who have the clap or gonorrhea infections that develop into pelvic inflammatory diseases, PIDs.
What?
What do you think the acronym for pelvic inflammatory disease is, Kevin?
You got the PID. I want that to be a thing. If I ever, well, if I see someone ever scratching their action zone, I'm going to ask them if they have the bid.
They cut me. It's just like riding a wire fence.
That was the president!
Former president.
At the time.
Yeah, at the time.
LBJ.
What?
Did I say that wrong? Where the...
He's the LBJ.
What does that stand for? Nope. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we go around the NFC East. What team made Instagram melt down? Next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.